Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Unfortunately, the weather that has not happened yet has led us to postpone the Tequila Harry's remote today, so I will not be out there from 11 until 1. I will be I'll be home. So and you were not invited there from 11 to 1.
You're invited there. We're just not going to be there.
No, I'm not to my home.
No,
I will be there, and you're not invited.
You can still go get a Rio burrito.
No, because I think they're actually going to close.
Oh, never mind. Foot in mouth.
There you go.
What's up?
Right.
Everyone stay safe. It's right. Temperature starting to drop.
Right. You know, and it's just, it's almost, you know, it's too good to drive at now, the conditions. You have to be careful, you know. There's too much ice everywhere. It just, Laura, were you able to find your way in here despite all the ice and the inclement weather?
I was about
weather?
To put a fork in my eye.
Wow.
I left the house. It was 50 degrees, and people were driving like it was, right. You know, the middle of a winter storm.
Right. People freak out, but you know what? The kids are safe. Everyone's at home. Hopefully, the weather won't be as bad as they're predicting. I have a sneaking suspicion that could be the case, but better safe than sorry. All the kids are home from school, and no Tequila Harry's remote today. It has been postponed. We will reschedule in the near future. Hopefully the next couple of weeks. So no remote at Tequila Harry's. But we do have Laura Sanko. Despite all the warnings, she was able to navigate her way through the streets of Kansas City and come in here and join us. So thank you very much for stopping by the studio. We had a gentleman by the name of James Krause on the show yesterday. I don't know if you heard that. He was very good. He's very animated.
Oh, really?
He was... Sometimes he could not be very talkative here. So I think next time we have him in studio, we're actually going to make him go in the other room and call in from his cell phone.
Maybe it's been my fault.
No.
He was engaging.
No, it was, I think, you know how grumpy people can be when getting ready to make weight?
Yeah.
And because food is few and far between, the opportunities to eat. And I think we caught him right when he was eating some egg whites or something. And so you're so happy to eat something. I feel like he was just so happy to be eating some delicious food.
And I think
everything's delicious.
I think it was media day, so he was on.
Media mode is what he was in. But I did ask him the question. He did not give a firm answer. But I said, what possibility has you most excited? Are you most excited to be fighting in the state of Missouri at the first UFC event in St. Louis, or the possibility of being interviewed by a young lady by the name of Laura Sanko?
Oh, and, what was this?
And so he kind
of,
but he talked about how he was disappointed they didn't fight in Kansas City. So he's glad to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. He goes, yeah. And then, you know, Laura, you know, even if I win, she'll probably have something negative to say.
And I said,
actually, you know, Laura has just let us know what the first question would be. James, congratulations on the win. Why weren't you more impressive?
Yeah.
Why weren't congratulations on the win? Why weren't you better?
What took you so long?
You're going to lay down that gauntlet.
Yeah.
All right.
Or just like, James, a great win. You know what, though? Not impressed.
Unimpressive victory.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So any of those, if you could possibly
you
convey that.
You looked a little flat-footed out there. What
right,
happened?
Right. Clearly on the downside of your career, James, what now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I laughed so hard.
Like, in whatever way he wins, you know, use it as a way to challenge the other aspects of his fighting. Like, if he knocks him out or something,
right.
You know, a lot of people say that, you know, your weakness is the ground game, and do you feel
right.
like you failed to address that here
right.
today?
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Again, James, not much on the ground from you.
Yeah. You're really not known for your striking power. Were you surprised we were able to hit him a few times?
Let's just spend the next 45 minutes thinking of ways you can insult James on the air.
Or if he wins, like, in a decision. The fans really wanted to see a stoppage, and
why weren't you able to finish this fight, James?
James, once again, relying on the judges, but okay. if that's what you prefer, that's fine. So let's just start with the same question I asked James about your excitement of being a part of UFC
or
St.
getting to
Louis.
Interview him.
Well, I know we know you're excited about that, but this is a cool deal. This is the first time the UFC's had an event in St. Louis, and you get to be a part of it. So right there, that's got to be great. So tell us all of your duties and your excitement level for being part of UFC St. Louis.
Yeah, like you said, this is only the second time they've ever come to Missouri. First time ever in St. Louis. We're going to be hit the Octagon. We'll hit the Scott Trade Center on Sunday. So if you're if you start cruising around your TV guide on Saturday and you don't see anything, it's because you're on the wrong day. So it's a, kind of an odd day to have fights, but they do this sometimes.
What do you think of that, Sunday night fights? Not bad. You know,
I kind of like it.
More people at home and right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of it gets crowded Saturday night with obligations, things to do, other things you want to be watching.
NFL playoffs,
so. NFL football Saturday night, but it's Sunday afternoon for NFL football.
Right, you avoid that. So that
exactly.
Makes
so I think it's good. And guys, if you haven't taken a look at the card, it's actually a really good card considering it's FS1 and you know, and like I said, it's on a Sunday. The main event is going to be such a fun fight. And you've got a bunch of Missouri guys, not just James Krause fighting. You've got Zach Cummings. James's opponent is actually from Missouri as well. So we got a lot of local talent showing up. And I'm excited. I will be doing weigh-in duties, which just means I interview the fighters right after they weigh in and are all in horrible moods and give terrible interviews and are really, really hard to talk to.
The only thing standing between them and hydration
is me.
Laura Sanko right here.
So they're super thrilled to be talking to me at that point.
It was like a big steak waiting for them backstage.
Yeah.
But first talk to Laura for just a moment.
Yeah. The tenor of the interviews on Saturday versus Sunday are completely different. And then, Sunday night I will be interviewing the main card. I think they actually made special provision because normally I only interview main card winners.
Right.
But they added James to my sheet if he wins. And if
he better win.
And the sheet specifically says if it calls for it. In other words, like if he does good enough and if he wins, Laura might get to talk to him. So there's a lot of conditions there. He's got to perform or I don't get to.
But his profile's expanding with UFC. He's been in studio now as an analyst. He had a prominent role on The Ultimate Fighter, and so there are more people outside of the Kansas City area and outside the state of Missouri that are interested in James Krause and what he does on Sunday night.
Yeah, he's definitely grown a fan base over the last couple of years, being on The Ultimate Fighter and really doing a phenomenal job there and really not needing to be there. I mean, we kind of talked about that a lot last summer, but I think people gravitated to his story with his family. And he's fun to watch. I mean, he's not an overly powerful knockout artist, but he has some really slick stand-up and very slick jiu-jitsu. And you put those two things together, and you never quite know what you're going to see in terms of how he finishes. But it was funny because as I was doing my homework, I take him for granted. I'll admit it. You know, being around him every day and having spent the last 11 years or whatever, being around him and watching him fight, you just kind of take people for granted.
I take Jake for granted. I understand.
Do you?
I get it. Yeah, I do. But I try to catch myself, but I feel like I find myself doing that.
Yeah,
do
you take Nate for granted?
No. I appreciate him every single day, trust me.
We overvalue Nate around here.
Every time I see him, it's a splash of wonderful reality right in my face.
But as I was
splash
looking...
something.
Oh, geez.
Right.
As I was looking through my stat sheet, I was like, wow, I forget, you know, his resume. He's got 16 first-round finishes. He does have 6 wins by knockout. He's got 14 submission wins. He's a, you know, he's a jiu-jitsu black belt. You look at his credentials on paper, and you kind of forget, like, wow, he really is a phenomenal fighter and just so
he's
fun to watch.
He's a complete fighter.
He is a complete fighter, yes.
Yeah.
But he's facing a tough guy. I mean, Alex White is not particularly flashy or showy in any one area. He's just kind of one of those guys that's very durable, very tough. I would say he actually might be the more powerful striker than James. But James, I would give the edge in terms of just sophisticated striking. And, I can't pick, but, you know, I'll maybe imply what I would pick.
You have said that you're picking the fans as the winner in this fight.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Missouri wins.
Right.
Literally, whoever wins,
Missouri wins. Okay, so the prelims on FS1 start at 7 o'clock, and that's significant because the first fight out of the gate on FS1 features Zach Cummings from right here in Kansas City, Glory MMA and Fitness in Full Effect, and he is fighting someone that is very recognizable in the MMA community, so... give us the matchup here for Zach Cummings.
So Zach Cummings, he's 21-5. If you're not familiar with Zach, he's 6-5 in the UFC, been doing really well as of late. And he is going to be fighting Thiago Alves, who is 26-11. He's a guy, though, he at one point was challenging for the title. He fought George St. Pierre back in the day for the welterweight title. So you're talking about a guy who has literally been at the top of the pack. He's a little bit, he's fallen a little bit in the last couple of years, but it's not because he's been on some huge losing streak. He just hasn't quite gotten the momentum that some of the other fighters have. He's a dangerous striker. A lot of power. Very, very strong kicks.
And what's his nickname?
Beatball.
Right. We're not supporting him. We just look for different reasons. And this is why we play Pitbull. So.
Okay. I feel that. I mean, we need to be dancing to something for Zach.
Thank you. Well, cut it now. What do you want to play for Zach?
Oh.
You think about that.
I will.
Does he have a nickname?
No, he doesn't.
Zach.
Yeah.
Z. What up, Z? I don't know. So.
Play some Zach Brown.
That's a big fight for Zach. Huge fight for Zach.
How can we describe the way James, what James said yesterday about Pitbull? He's not quite the same as he used to be, he said, for a number of different
reasons.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of miles on him.
Right.
Well, he also implied that maybe there's a regulatory body that's affected his performance.
That he hasn't quite been the same.
Maybe his performance has been unenhanced.
Right.
I am not privy.
Right, no one is, but I mean...
Yes.
That was the implication I took from it.
Yes. Time has passed since he was at the top of his game.
So how much is left in his tank? Because this would... Does it matter?
Does he have any juice left, is what you're saying.
Having him...
Yeah.
Right. right.
Sorry.
Well, hopefully not.
It
totally did.
But having a win over him would be a very nice feather in the cap of Zach Cummings.
Absolutely. I mean, Alves is coming off a nice win himself. He had a really good performance against Patrick Cote, who is another, you know, solid name. So it's not like Alves is, as I said, he's not on some losing streak. He's just maybe at the sort of the end of his career.
Okay,
so this is a big opportunity for Zach to possibly... Zach continues to have this, quote-unquote, underrated label, because he is. He's underrated. He continues to win. He wins in exciting fashion. And no one pays attention to him.
It was exciting in Kansas City, but it was so early, a lot of people didn't get a chance to see it live.
Exactly.
And so for those, and this is why it's cool, right at 7 o'clock on FS1, you get to see him in the first fight. So tell me, for those that haven't watched Zach Cummings, what's maybe his biggest strength?
You look at Zach, and you don't necessarily see some... you know, physical, insanely chiseled athlete. What Zach is deceptively strong. Deceptively strong. Wrestling, very good hands, heavy hands. But I personally think he shines in the sort of transition game, the transitional wrestling and the scrambles on the ground. He comes up with some crazy submissions a couple fights ago. He got an unbelievable spin through, you know, straight arm bar that was super cool to see. You don't see that in his division a whole lot, other than the pure jiu-jitsu artist. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to expect to see excitement. The only thing I'm worried about from Alves might be those kicks, you know, chewing up Zach's leg early. Zach's got to be able to check those kicks and not get slowed down by him, because Alves has a lot of power.
So Zach Cummings right off the bat, 7 o'clock on the FS1 prelims. Then the third fight is James Krause.
Yes.
And so James Krause taking on Alex White. And so in the four prelims on FS1, two of them will be repping Kansas City.
They will.
With two of our friends from Glory MMA and Fitness. Let's take a break. Then we can get a forecast. Can you hang out with us for a little bit?
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
We'll talk about the main card. And then I want to talk more about your role and your preparation for UFC St. Louis Sunday night. FS1 prelims start at 7, and then the main card starts at 9 on FS1. We'll be back after this. More from Laura Sanko. Do we have Gary Lezak back? Is he done traveling the United States? Gary Lezak, a triumphant return to the Border Patrol after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right now, do I call you UFC reporter?
Hold on, I'm making it rain.
Right. Well,
hello.
Okay.
I hate to disagree with you, but Gary Lezak is the one that makes it rain.
That's
really
right.
He just looks out his window and says rain. So are you UFC reporter, host, analyst? What do you like to be?
This weekend I am a UFC reporter.
UFC reporter Laura Sanko has been asking repeatedly every time she comes in studio, why won't you let me talk to Gary Leather? Finally, your wish is granted. Gary Lezak, we have locally, she's been here on the show for how many years now?
Three years? Yeah.
And we've watched her now move on to the UFC and a rising star in the UFC as a broadcaster and as a reporter. And now she said this is the peak. She gets to be on the show with you, Gary. So please say hello to Laura Sanko.
Laura, I've been listening, and you're doing fantastic as you always do. And I heard you say that you made it in there because it was just wet and in the 40s as you were driving to work, or even 50s when you were driving to work, driving in.
Yes, it started out at 50 when I left Lee Summit, and by the time I hit the studio, it was 37, so wow. Quite the drop.
So there you go, and temperatures are still falling. We'll have to get that updated temperature here in just a second. But let me tell you, do you have any questions, first of all, Laura, for me?
Yeah, do you have any questions?
Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness.
This is going to be good.
Open forum. Gary, can you point to one weather event that has been sort of the highlight of your career in terms of that was just an amazing experience to cover?
That's a good question.
That's a really good question. In my career...
That's why she does what she does.
Probably the Christmas Eve, Christmas Day storm in 2009 when we had about a foot of snow on Christmas Eve and it was a blizzard and we forecasted it and... It turned out to be a white Christmas, and it just that was probably one of my favorite weather events. I don't like tornadoes, so those are never my favorite.
I was at William Jewell when those tornadoes decided to make a mess of our campus.
May 4th, 2003.
Yes, yep. Yeah. Finals were canceled.
There you go.
He just ripped out the date.
Gary, he's an encyclopedia.
That's amazing.
And Gary also is a very big MMA fan. I've had the opportunity to watch several fights with Gary and Andy. Even one time when Gary got up in the middle of a Floyd Mayweather fight and stormed out because he said it was boring, and he wanted to. He goes, "I'm going to go gamble." And so, all right, Gary, and
I'm with you, Gary.
That was that one time. You know, 9 out of 10 times, that way.
But it happened. So
yeah,
I can tell you that.
It did, yeah.
But the next time we're going to be at A-10s on watching fights, Gary, you have to go. A big fight fan. Of course, Andy's a big fight fan. And I know that you'll be excited to watch James Krause in action on Sunday night on FS1, Gary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But now I've got to, Laura, if you don't mind, I'm going to actually do the weather today.
This is shocking to everyone listening. So go ahead.
This is shocking, but I will do the weather. I heard Jeff Penner the other day try to do the weather. He ended up going 12 minutes on his rant.
You were taking...
He went 12 minutes right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City.
Right, and one sports take so I could just get my sports out of the way. I was listening to Danny and Kevin on my way back from Austin, Texas yesterday where I landed, and Danny Klinkscale had said that if Alex Smith gets to the championship game, then... the Chiefs may consider keeping him. Well, Danny, please stick to what you said. He did not get to the championship game. Please. We will move on. We have to. All right. Here's what's going on. That's the one change. That's the one change Saban made. One quarterback change. Alabama's national champion. Wow. That's all I got to say. Okay. Weather-wise, here's what's going on today. The weather timeline now through 9 a.m., rain changing to freezing rain, temperatures dropping into the 20s in the next 2 hours or so. So it's 8 o'clock, so by 10 a.m., 1 to 2 hours from now, dropping into the 20s. Untreated surfaces will be icing up. Elevated surfaces such as decks, driveways, bridges, and off and on ramps could be icing up. 9 a.m. to noon, freezing rain changing to sleet or snow. Accumulations of about a dusting. This is all we've been expecting, guys. We have not been expecting a major storm here, but it could have major travel problems. That's why they canceled all the schools. Never seen them do that before when for just a winter weather advisory, but it's okay. It's better safe than sorry. And slick and hazardous conditions today. The kids get the day off for a little bit of icing and possibly some snow. The latest temperature just came in. Let's see here. Is now 29 degrees at KCI, 30 mile per hour winds, wind chill factor 15. I tried to get Sunny outside. It is very windy, cold, and raw.
Don't make Sunny go outside, damn it.
I know. It was really mean to do that to her. Yeah, but she had to go, you know? She had to go.
Right.
Gary, can I ask a question?
Yes.
So you said that untreated roads could become slick once it drops into the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Can they treat the roads while this rain's coming down, or does it just all wash away?
Well, it's washing away right now. So in the next hour, the crews are going to be going around as temperatures drop, and they'll be treating as many roads and surfaces as they can because they do have to treat again. And if we have any sleet or snow that falls, then it could become an even bigger problem. But the main disturbance, and I just blogged about it, go to weatherblog.kshb.com, and I'm going to come on Facebook Live. Go to facebook.com/my full name, Gary Lezak. I'm going to come on there, and the 41 Action News Facebook as well. And the disturbance, and it's disturbing, because it's spinning around near Emporia, and it looks to me it's going to track through Leavenworth. Along and north of the disturbance, there's going to be an inch of snow or more, maybe 6 or 8 inches of snow up near southeast Nebraska and northwestern Missouri. But for Kansas City, since it's tracking to the northwest of the city, the chance of any significant snow is low, and that means the chance of the snowflake contest ending is low. There's a chance we still get an inch of snow late this morning or early this afternoon, which would cause bigger problems with the wind blowing. But I do expect it to be under an inch, so we'll see if my expectations get exceeded. But I don't like it when the disturbance treks to our northwest.
So is everybody overreacting to this winter storm?
I'm not overreacting.
I know. It sounds like you're kind of saying that it's a little bit, you're playing it down a little bit.
Well, it's a storm that can still have high impacts. So the school's all canceled. There's no ice yet in the city at all, but there's going to be some ice development. So as I said, better safe than sorry.
Gary.
Those decisions are never up to me.
That's right. Better safe than sorry. Would you like some ice right now, Gary?
Oh, yeah.
This is for you right here. There's a 100% chance of ice on the Border Patrol right now.
Lord, this means it's time for me to rap.
Right.
Hey, what's up? This is Vanilla Ice, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Wow.
Right.
That is the real ice, baby.
Only the best for you, Gary. Really.
Laura's done more dancing in the studio today than I think she's ever done before.
She's just so happy that James isn't here.
Yeah.
She's getting... in the studio by herself.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I got the good chair. Got the good mic.
Laura, we love you.
I love you, Gary.
That's true.
Aw.
Wow.
All right, it's down to 33 degrees downtown at this moment. And we're about to drop to below freezing. We're going to have some ice, baby. That's why the schools were canceled. Maybe a little bit of snow on top of that. We're tracking it all for you on 41 Action News right now. So go check that out. And I hope everyone has a safe day. We'll keep you updated. I might wear my snow vest later, but there needs to be at least a dusting for me to do that. I haven't worn my snow vest all year. And
wear the snow vest.
And the snowflake contest hasn't ended yet.
Yeah.
Come on, ice, baby.
Right.
All right, 33 downtown, 34 degrees in Olathe, 29 at KCI. The temperatures are crashing. It's in the single digits in Nebraska. It's another Arctic blast. Be safe, especially around your driveways when you get out your car. And here is Bob Hamilton.
Thanks, Gary. You can get your whole house plumbing check for just $49. Better call Bob, 888-4-B-O-B. Remember 913 or bobhamilton.com.
Thank you to Gary Lezak. When we come back, we'll have more with Laura Sanko in studio on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A once busy day has now cleared up for me.
Just opened wide up.
At one point, I was scheduled to host a remote at Tequila Harry's from 11 until 1. That has been postponed. And then with the head coach out of town on business, I'm the lone assistant coach. I was in charge of the second and third grade girls basketball practice tonight.
Whoa.
Which every week all hell breaks loose with screaming and yelling and wild accusations. And I just got an email that has been canceled. So the second and third, we are not allowed to practice when there's no school. And so with no school, no practice.
Let's just all get our jammies on and watch movies.
Right. What movies? What movie would you watch?
Working 9 to 5.
See? 9 to 5? You haven't seen 9 to 5.
What about Cloak and Dagger? Shouldn't I watch that first?
9 to 5.
Probably. But they're both good. I enjoyed 9 to 5. This is still a fantastic song that holds up. Tell you what, I wish it was Sunday so I could just sit home and watch UFC Fight Night in St. Louis, Missouri with Zach Cummings on the card, fighting at 7 o'clock on the FS1 prelims, and then fight number 3 on the FS1 prelims, so maybe 7:45 or 8 o'clock or so for James Krause?
Yeah, probably, especially with commercial breaks. It's kind of a slower pace, so yeah. I would tune in at least by 7:45 to be safe.
Well, you're already going to be watching at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, just keep watching.
Zach Cummings. UFC Fight Pass early prelims get underway at 5 o'clock, again on UFC Fight Pass, and then at 7 o'clock, the FS1 prelims featuring Zach Cummings and then also our regular guest, James Krause. Then we get to the main card, and we talked about the main card a little bit with James, and I want to talk to you about it. He was touting the Nigerian Nightmare in the first fight. And again, for any Kansas City fans out there, we immediately will root for anyone nicknamed the Nigerian Nightmare. So let's start there. The first of the four fights on the main card between the Nigerian Nightmare and Emil Meek. Give us the breakdown of this fight.
Yeah, Kamaru Usman versus Emil Meek it's a very fun fight. Usman has not lost in the UFC, has only had one defeat in his entire career. It's interesting for a guy who's gone now 6-0 in the UFC that he's not yet getting a top 10 opponent. That's the only question, the thing. And I think that is because he had a string of decision wins. But if you go back and you watch those decision wins, He is fun to watch. He's close to finishing those fights. All of those fights were close to being finished at several moments. But Emil Meek, excuse me, I always say that wrong because it's spelled different, but Emil Meek is Valhalla. I mean, man.
Right.
You've seen a scary-looking dude.
He carries
a battle axe with him around to, like, media day and weigh-ins and stuff.
It's almost like my beard with Nate's hair.
That's kind of a weird picture of him.
I mean, I'm
trying to grow my beard out to that length.
I mean, let's be honest here. If you could work it out, is this a look that you would like to have?
I wouldn't mind it.
I think that would work well with you. Look at this.
Yeah, I don't know about what's that tattoo on his right?
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that.
He's Norwegian.
Right. So it was a Norwegian
I don't know why
tattoo.
I said it like that. Like, that explains everything.
Understood now. That explains
He's
everything.
Norwegian.
Yeah.
Enough said.
So who wins? Who do you think wins this fight?
Oh, well, you know me. I can't pick. But here's what I will say about both these fighters. Usman, phenomenal wrestler, powerful wrestler. Also has power in his hands. We saw that in his last fight. He got a one-punch knockout. Meek is maybe a little bit more of a well-rounded fighter in terms of just really good at everything, very solid on his feet, and you can never count this guy out. This is only his second UFC fight. His first UFC fight, he broke his rib in the first round, grinded out the rest of the fight to win a decision. So, I mean, it was blatant, too. He screamed in pain, but, like, made it through the rest of the fight. Tough, tough, tough guy.
I keep forgetting you can't pick because of your duties. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
So who's your pick? Nate would like to ask about the next fight.
Paige VanZant.
Paige VanZant making her flyweight debut. She's coming up from 115. So it'll be interesting.
Is that going to be a difficult jump for her?
Yeah, no. I think she had a really hard time making 115 over the years. You know, when she started fighting on Invicta, I think she was only 19 years old. And, you grow into your athletic body, and it got harder and harder for her to make 115, so I think it's a smart choice.
How old is she now? How old is she?
25, maybe, I'm guessing. But Jessie Rose Clark is coming down from bantamweight. So you're talking about one fighter that used to fight at 115, one fighter that used to fight at 135, so it's going to be really interesting to see if there is indeed a big strength and size difference in
there. 23, that's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, she's only 23.
Right, but it just seems like she's been up. But
she started very, she started very young. She might have even been 18.
It seems like she's been around forever, and I guess that makes sense if she was 18 years old when she started.
So Australian Jessie Rose Clark coming down from bantamweight had a really nice UFC debut against Beck Rawlings, did well. She was kind of the underdog in that fight and came out with the win. But Paige needs to get back that momentum. She, a lot of people, I feel like, especially within the MMA community, give her flack because she gets so much attention. And, you know, I was talking with Megan about this the other day. It's like, it's not her fault. You know, she didn't ask to be pretty and good at MMA, and she didn't ask for Reebok to want to pay attention to her. And she, it's not as if she goes out there and seeks out all this attention. So it kind of drives me nuts when people, you know, complain about her getting a lot of attention.
She's a good spokesperson.
She's fun to watch.
She's good in front of a microphone. Yeah. You want somebody to promote
this. She's wholesome.
This. Right.
But James says she's not like, she's not a diva. She does,
she's not.
Yeah.
No, she's a wonderful human being.
Genuinely. It's like, that's the kind of fighter you want to appeal to the mainstream, to try to bring in maybe the fan that's not going to watch every single card.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be some people that just watch her on Dancing with the Stars that know her from
exactly.
the media. Like, that's why they put her on the media tour, that will tune in on Sunday night. And you need that because you're going to have the hardcore fans regardless because they want to watch the fights. So what's wrong with that? She's good in front of a microphone. She represents the UFC well. You don't have to worry about her doing something crazy
exactly.
that's going to embarrass anybody. Is she the best fighter in the world? No. But that's not what it's always about when you're trying to appeal to the masses and grow your sport.
She represents the sport well. And
that's right.
Period. You know, and she is a good fighter. She continues to grow. This will be her first fight, though, not fighting out of Team Alpha Male. So it'll be interesting to see whether her new camp has given her some new skills, or if, you know, Alpha Male is a great camp, and I don't, you know, I wouldn't want to leave there.
Here's where and it's not her fault, but I can understand where. It, unfortunately, we're still at a place in time where in women's athletics, being attractive makes a much bigger difference in somebody's appeal than being attractive does for a male athlete. Now, it still matters. Like you know, Tom Brady's a sex symbol. You know, like, he's a handsome guy, and it adds to
he
his.
You said
is.
It, not me.
You know,
he certainly is a handsome man.
Yeah, you wouldn't, you know.
But the, you know what? But she's mentioned many times in the same breath as Sage Northcutt in the UFC for the same thing. He gets criticized for the same thing. In fact, what do some critics call him? Ken and Barbie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Ken and Barbie, the UFC. And he, guess what? He gets advanced, he gets talked about, and he gets fights that others don't. Why? Because he looks like he was a villain in a Stallone movie in the 80s.
Well, know? James talks about it all the time, that it's not just the fight game, it's the entertainment.
And
you know,
he's another one of those people. He is very there's a reason why they compare the two, because they really are very similar.
But people complain
he's
about him
incredibly,
as well.
He's an incredibly wholesome human being. You know that he's got
Wait,
this
which
air...
are we talking about? James now, or are we talking?
Oh no,
I was
going to
say. I got
Did you really ask that question?
No. We're talking about Sage Northcutt.
Okay.
He has this sort of innocent eagerness about him that people look at it and they see, man, you're so fake. And I'm telling you, I have spent time with him away from the cameras, behind closed doors, but there were other people there too.
What's going on here?
And he's just that way. He's just this happy, yes sir, no sir.
The same thing
he calls Uriah Mr. Faber. Yes, Mr. Faber.
Right. The same thing that Jake says, like, about why he doesn't like Tim Tebow.
Right.
Oh, that can't be real. That's all fake. Well, then you know what? It's real.
Yeah.
And people say it all the time. Turn it off a little bit, Sage.
In the fight world, does it give you less street cred?
You're
supposed to act like a badass, you know?
For sure, but if you watch his last fight, that's what I loved about it, because I don't know about for the first time, but it really showed in his last fight where he was that happy, eager, wholesome, perfect-looking kid coming into the cage, and then he gets in there, and he got gangster. I mean, he was much more violent, and you could see him enjoying the violence a little bit more, and then the cage door closes, he's out of it, and he's back to like, hey, I'm ready to talk to the media.
I like Paige. Hope she wins.
What kind of a fight are we looking at, style-wise?
Jessica Rose Clark, very good boxing, underrated jiu-jitsu. Paige is more of she'll stay on the outside and use a little bit flashier kicks, stays on the outside, uses those long punches, and then she tries to close the distance quickly, get the clinch, get some sort of a hip toss and get it to the ground, and she likes top control. She likes to ground and pound. That is going to be tough to do against Jessica Rose Clark because of the size and strength. I don't know if there's going to be a huge difference, but I feel like there might be. It's hard to say until we see it.
All right, the next fight, which I think is going to be very exciting to watch, and again, I tell this story all the time, one of the best memories that I have of my life, one of the best weekends of my life, was back on the weekend of June 22nd, 2002, when I flew to Vegas with Susan, and we were married by Fat Elvis on the Friday night. And then my dad was out there as my best man. My dad and I went to USC 37 and a half to see Chuck Liddell fight Vitor Belfort. And then that night, the rematch between Marco Antonio Barrera and Eric Morales with me and my wife. Freaking awesome weekend. And now Vitor Belfort, all these years later, is still fighting.
And he's still top 15.
Right. And he's fighting in a fight that I can't wait to watch against Uriah Hall. So Primetime versus the Phenom. Break down this fight for us.
Again, Vitor Belfort. He's been in the MMA game for 21 years. Wow. That is insane. It would take me the entire next block to read off his list of accolades, but they include, you know, 18 first-round finishes, 16 knockouts. And that's really Vitor's story. He is an incredibly explosive, powerful striker. It used to be just a big overhand. He's added a high kick into his arsenal, gotten a little bit slicker. But as of the last two camps, he's been training up a TriStar with Firas Zahabi, and I feel like he's really been working on his ground game. I mean, he only has two submission wins in his entire 21-year career, so it's not something he goes to a lot. But against someone like Uriah Hall, who is incredibly flashy and very much a striker, I can see him looking to take this to the mat, push Uriah up against the fence where he doesn't have the space to use those kicks, drag it to the mat, and then get a submission win, which would be a nice capstone to a big career. But Uriah Hall, man, he is either... What I like about Uriah is he goes out on his shield. He is either completely on and one punch knocking people out, or he's having a really tough night. And it's kind of one or the other. So it really depends on which Uriah shows up. I think it will be the good one. He's talked a lot about his mental game coming into this fight, and he's a sniper, man. He's one of those people, he stays on the outside, and you never know what he's going to throw. He throws, you know, wheel kicks, spinning kicks, all this stuff.
But the chances of an exciting fight are pretty high.
Very high.
Between these two.
Yes.
And I feel the same way about the main event. Jeremy Stephens, who for maybe casual fans, still the guy that Conor McGregor at the press conference.
Forgot about that. Yeah.
Who the F is this guy? Right. And so, I mean, you know what? If you're going to be known for something, why not? It keeps your name in people's minds. But Jeremy Stephens going up against the, and I'm going to give you a fun fact. Maybe you can't use it on the telecast, but the Korean Superboy, who oddly enough, that was also Nate's nickname when he was at KU, the Korean Superboy.
Really?
A lot of people didn't.
There's
I just
whole story found out behind
Greg
that.
Gurley told me that, and mm-hmm. it was I don't know the story, I just know the fact.
I'm going to use that on the podcast.
Please do, and no need to give me credit, but this looks like a very good fight as well. Jeremy Stephens is always fun to watch.
Phenomenal. Jeremy Stephens has been fighting since 2007, again, a very long career considering it's MMA. He's fought the best of the best. He one punch knocked out Rafael Dos Anjos back in the day. I mean, he's another guy with huge power in his hands. He throws every strike with knockout intentions, kicks and punches. He has a very underrated wrestling game. You know, he's got the Iowa background, so you know he originally came from the Miletich camp, so he's got that grinding wrestling style capability. He just doesn't necessarily use it all the time. Korean Superboy, on the other hand, I love his whole story. I love his whole aura. You look at this guy, and he is I think Joe Rogan called him adorable once, and so I'm going to borrow that word. He is this adorable kid who looks so innocent and harmless.
Again, Nate Bucati.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not talking about you, Nate. Duo Choi. Yeah.
I do appreciate you calling me adorable, right, though.
Mm-hmm. No problem. He has 11 knockout wins. His last fight was his first loss in, years. And his last fight against Cub Swanson was one of the best fights of 2017. If you want to know a fight to go back and watch just to see what's all this MMA excitement about, go watch Do Ho Choi versus Cub Swanson. It is insane.
This is going to be a great fight.
It's going to be a fantastic fight. He's got this crazy ability where he will stand within boxing range, but just slightly out of boxing range, and hold his right hand perfectly still. He doesn't do a whole lot of hopping around. He just holds his right hand completely still, and at the exact precise, right moment, connects, and just lays people out left and right.
Okay, so the fights are in St. Louis again. First time the UFC has been in St. Louis, Sunday night. You can watch everything on FS1 starting at 7 o'clock. Zach Cummings from right here in Kansas City, Glory MMA and Fitness, will be fighting right at 7. James Krause will be the third fight, so around 8 o'clock or so. But just start watching at 7 so you don't miss James and his fight. And then the main card will be right after the FS1 prelims. So prelims start at 7, main card starts at 9. And Laura Sanko, you're going to be doing, you said, the weigh-ins. You'll be interviewing all the fighters after the weigh-ins. And then fight night, where are you going to be?
Fight night, I am in the backstage. On television, my portion of the broadcast is involved in the pre-fight show and the post-fight show. So those are the desk shows that occur on FS1. So they'll kick to me, you know, live on site. We've got Laura Sanko talking to so-and-so.
Right.
So that's where I am.
So take me through, like for this, how much time you spent. I know it's nothing to sneeze at, but how much time you've spent, you know, researching all the fighters, what your preparation's like for a gig like this when you're getting ready to interview all the fighters after the weigh-ins. And then you sit there and you have to watch. And obviously, a lot of your questions or some of your questions are going to be based on what happens in the actual fight and who wins and what takes place in the fight. So maybe take me through what you're going to be doing to get ready for this.
The weigh-in interviews are, in my opinion, the much more difficult ones, partly because, like we talked about earlier, the fighters are in such a horrible mood. But also, that's really where the preparation is, because you have to understand someone's fight game, their opponent's fight game, and how they match up in order to ask an intelligent question and not just constantly be saying things like, what's your game plan coming in?
How do you feel after making a weight?
Yeah. How was your cut? So I like to try to really showcase that I know what I'm talking about and ask an in-depth question and not just assume that the fans want, you know, need to be dumbed down to. So
it helps too that you fought and you know what they're going through when they make weight and everything else and the preparation.
Yeah.
You know, that gives you that added.
I genuinely feel like that gives me at least a modicum of street cred. So, and then fight night's way easier. There's something to talk about. You know, we can just discuss what just happened. And
so what's the setup when you're watching the fights back? Like,
so
James told us about the green room where after he fights he can go to, and you know what? You want to find something that you can love as much as James loves the spread of food that he describes. Oh, it's all the best food. You can go in there, and there's an ice cream machine. And I'm settled down. I mean, legitimate excitement. And so, I mean, do you get a chance to get all this fantastic food and stuff? But you don't want to do that before you go on camera. I don't know. But
yeah,
there's a damn ice cream machine.
So I
stay away from it.
I arrive at the venue, and I get kind of shuttled in the back like the rest of the staff.
You have
people.
A limousine drop you off.
No. We arrive on a big bus. There's just a bus that goes from the hotel to the venue, and I hop on the appropriate one, and then I get there and figure out where they call it a mix zone, which is where you see the backdrop that you'll see in my FS1 shots. And I've got a camera crew there and a sound crew there and my producer there, and I check in. And we sometimes will do some lighting checks and some sound checks. And then I will go get my meal ticket, and I'll go eat. A little.
In that buffet where the fighters get to go to that James raved about?
Yeah, but by the time they shut it down for people that are working there. Like, once the fights are on, no more food.
Mm-hmm. So you have to get a ticket? You only one trip through the buffet? Or
yes. They're very strict about it, too. Wow. And if you lose your ticket, you're effed.
So then you watch the fights back there?
So they have a monitor back there for me.
Right. So you don't ever go out in the arena and check out the crowd or anything?
No,
like
I mean, I will in the beginning of the night, but by the time the fights start rolling, I have to stay back there. Because the really tricky thing about what I do is, because they are not live broadcast interviews, a lot of times I'm interviewing someone while another fight's going on. So it has happened where I've been in the middle of an interview and a quick finish has happened and I haven't seen one iota of the fight, and I've had to interview that fighter about the fight. And that is hard. I had to do that to Claudia Gadelha, and it was the most vanilla
the
questions ever.
The producer just tell you, like, hey, they just...
No, because the producer's having to pay attention to me while I'm doing my interview, and the sound guys and the camera guys are, too, and they don't really know MMA, so they're like, well, she knocked her down, and then something happened.
One of them was punching the other one a bunch.
And that one punched the other
accurate.
One.
Accurate. I mean, I don't know.
Not helpful.
So we've mentioned several times that Kansas City was the first stop for UFC. In Missouri, now it's St. Louis. Any whispers about when they might be coming back to KC?
I've not heard any whispers, but I will say that after that event, there was a lot of positive feedback about how easy the Sprint Center was to work with, how great the Kansas City media was, and they loved the location, too, I think.
Sure.
It's nice to have a lot of restaurants within walking distance, that beautiful grocery store where the fighters can get all the healthy food they need. I mean, it's just kind of a perfect setup, so I'm sure they'll be back.
When are you heading to St. Louis?
Early tomorrow morning. I'm flying. Morning.
And why flying? Just, you don't like driving?
I don't like messing with I-70 in the wintertime.
Probably smart.
Yeah.
So, and what time are the weigh-ins?
The weigh-ins are morning weigh-ins. I don't know what time the weigh-in broadcast is. It's going to be in the late afternoon.
But I mean, for you doing the work and everything.
Oh, yeah, early in the morning. Well, early-ish in the morning. They start at 9 a.m. There's the weigh-in window. They're not going to do the full mock weigh-ins for these fights. Right. So they have a window between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. to do their official weigh-in. And then at 11, everybody lines up to get interviewed by me very grumpily.
Well.
Yep.
Maybe not grumpy. Will you get to talk to James at all? And will you interview
not
him?
Not for the weigh-in interview, no.
That just like a mock interview just to make him feel good? Just
oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll prep him. I'll get him.
He said so many things yesterday that, you know, he was, I still couldn't believe, is this James on the phone? He was so talkative and excited.
Yeah. I know. He can turn it on when he needs to.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
It's kind of insulting that he doesn't do it here, honestly. Don't you think?
Is it?
A little insulting?
Yeah. I think it's kind of fitting.
Right.
Fits Jake, right in.
Jake always takes his side. Jake, what is your...
I don't know. There's something going on.
It's a good
on.
Side to be on.
Right.
You guys are a winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
And so we'll watch the coverage. And then as far as Fight Pass, are you going to be involved with that? Part of the broadcast or anything with the early prelims?
No, I tape some stuff early in the night, some reports I have to do, and then there's a lot of sitting around waiting for me. So unless there's a ridiculous finish or something crazy happens, so I have to watch every single fight as if I'm going to interview them, but I don't do interviews until the main card, unless it's James Krause, and they've made a special exception.
Right. Who made that call? Like, who decided?
I don't know.
Like the fact that that's out there.
Yeah.
Like, if he's impressive enough.
And, yeah.
So we'll have our fingers crossed so we can see that magical TV moment. But we're looking forward to USC St. Louis on Sunday night. Something for Kansas City fans to watch or root for, since we don't have another primetime sporting event to root for.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes back to that, doesn't it? Stupid. Well, Laura, we're very thankful that you came in studio, and we'll let you get out of here before...
Be safe on your way home.
...all hell breaks loose on the streets.
I will drive.
And have a great broadcast on Sunday night.
Thank you, guys.
That is the one and only Laura Sanko. What's that Twitter handle so people can follow you?
@Laura_Sanko. Same thing on Instagram.
Nate and Laura in the same boat, refuse to give up the underscore. You know what?
Yeah.
Don't ever.
I can't go back now.
See, it separates you from everyone else.
That's right.
We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.